it's not really an announcement, it's a comment. On Sunday, I had made some remarks, and I've recently been made aware that they might have been misunderstood. So I want to just make a quick clarification. The reason that I mentioned specific phrases and specific words were not to be telling us that these are words we should use or words that we shouldn't use, but just to point out the importance that words have meaning and they carry with it weight. And so not to be careless in the use of words, not to make it so that these words are words you can or cannot use. There's no idea of someone going to monitor you and say, well, you use that word. No. It was the idea of being aware of the power that words have and that they communicate ideas, and we want to be accurate and as biblical as possible. We have another announcement. This is an announcement.
This is an announcement. This is a commercial announcement for Believer's Bookshelf. One little booklet that is there that's relevant to our subject is called Unity, What Is It? And it's by C.H. McIntosh, published by Chapter 2. My sons like to say that in the original language, Chapter 2. It's not really authentic, but you get the idea. And it's very short, and it's got some really nice illustrations of unity. Unity, what is it, and am I confessing it? And that really gets us actually into the second half of our study. Am I confessing it? From now till the end of the week, that really is what we want to appreciate. Not just what is unity, but putting it into practice and appreciating it from God's point of view and in the practical aspects and impacts. So with that, passing it on down the line, Brother Tim is going to give us an introduction.
My turn. All right. This subject of being that we're going to take up today, being in Christ, it's not only a subject that I think is imperative to our subject as far as the unity, but really to recognize being in Christ and recognizing what that means really overlaps into every area of your life. It's like ground zero of the Christian life. Recognizing being in Christ affects every other area of your life. It affects what you think of yourself. It affects whether or not other people think of you in a certain way. To realize that you're in Christ, so it really doesn't matter what other people think about you, you're in Christ. And we want to look at the ramifications of being in Christ. And really, what does that mean? The magnitude of what that means, I think, is a tremendous thing. A lot of people, even Christians, suffer with all sorts of different things. Like, some people suffer with inferiority. Some people suffer with all sorts of other issues. And when you recognize that you're in Christ, it gives you freedom. It sets you free. And so when we bring it into our subject, recognizing the fact that we're in Christ, and what does that mean for us? So to begin with, we want to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22. Somebody could read 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22.
1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive.
Thank you. So we've talked about this week already. Sunday, I think we began, and we started talking about the fact that there really is only one race, and that's the human race. Biologically, there's one race. We all trace ourselves back to one blood, and that is from one man, Adam. And even through Noah, but even farther back, we go to Adam. But spiritually speaking, we need to understand that there's two races. And as this verse said, there's those that are in Adam, and there are those that are in Christ. And this is the two spiritual races, if you will, that Scripture gives us. And so when we think about this, when we think about being in Adam, for those that are in Adam. Adam was the federal head, you might say, of mankind, of the human race. And when Adam plummeted the human race into disobedience against God and into sin, sin entered the world. In fact, we have that verse in Romans chapter 5, verse 12 that says, "Wherefore by one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." And so now we have everyone from Adam on are in Adam, and therefore are sinners, and because they have sinned. And so we covered that yesterday quite a bit. And so when we think of this then, we look at the other side of this verse. The other side of this verse talks about being in Christ. And we want to examine that. I want to spend the rest of the time examining what it means to be in Christ. Because I think we talked in depth yesterday of what the gospel does and how it takes us out of being in Adam and brings us into being in Christ. And so we wanted to elaborate a little bit, realizing that what the Word of God says, that the moment you and I are saved, the moment we accept Christ as our Savior, we are born again. And when we think of this new birth that we've been given, the scripture tells us that we've been quickened, made alive by the Spirit of God. Quickened just means that we've been made alive by the Spirit of God. So we have, from that dead position of in Adam, now we've been made alive and alive to God forevermore. And so when we think about this then, the moment we were saved, what took place, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 13 and 14, it tells us that we were submerged into the body of Christ. We were baptized is the word. It means to be put under. It means to be submerged into. That's what we were. We were submerged into the body of Christ. And that took place the moment I accepted Christ as my Savior. So the Spirit of God baptized me, submerged me into the body of Christ. And then scripture tells us that having believed, you are sealed with the Spirit of God, who is the guarantee until the day of redemption. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. And so this is what God has done. This is God's sign. And being in Christ is what God has done. Having believed, you're sealed with the Spirit of God. It's a seal of ownership, and it's a seal of security. And that's not our subject. We could say much more on that. But having said that, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says that if any man be in Christ, he is
a new creation.
Thank you. He's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. And so when we think of that then, being in Christ, we're no longer in Adam. That old creation is gone. Now we're in Christ. And we have a new man. And we have a new nature. Right? The old man is reckoned dead. And some would say that he leaves his nature here. But he's dead. And we need to reckon him to be dead. And that's what Romans 6 really tells us, that we are to reckon him dead, right? So as Christ died, we died with him. As Christ is alive to God forevermore, we need to recognize that we're alive to God forevermore. And so when we think of that, I wrote down Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 to 6, but God, and I love that. I love this but God. I remember a brother, he got up and he says, "I want to speak on butts." And we all just sort of looked at him like, "What?" And he spoke, and one of the butts that he mentioned was here. But God. It's in contrast. It's like neon lights that is a contrast to what we were in Adam. Dead in our trespasses and sins. Ephesians chapter 2. To what we are now in Christ. And so he tells us this contrast. And the verse reads, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sin, had quickened us," or made us alive, "together with Christ. By grace you've been saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus."